For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about the fact and the reality that the world is more complicated for some than ever, with issues all over social media to champion. But one interesting aspect is that audiences want often their influencers, the people they follow online, to weigh in on these topics, be they geopolitical or otherwise. Is this fair? Should we expect influencers to post opinions on every little thing online? Joining me to discuss, Stephanie Preisner, the writer, broadcaster and podcaster, and Stephen O'Leary, founder at Olitico. Stephanie, for people who didn't see the piece you wrote in the Indo about this, your issue is what exactly? That expecting influencers to have an opinion on everything is where we're at. Is that it?
Particularly issues that don't relate to their brand or their realm of expertise. We see it a lot with particularly opinions on things that they don't know about, maybe aren't educated on, but are forced to have an opinion by their audience. We see it a lot with, you know, like wars, global events, elections. All of a sudden, people want to know, hey, makeup artist that has their own makeup brand, what do you think about this issue? I can't believe you're not talking about this issue. And it's like, okay, but this person's job, like their whole career is, you know, sharing ads, promoting things on Instagram or whatever, TikTok. You don't go into work and just talk about a certain issue. You do your job, and this person is doing their job, and they're held to different standards, and then they get cancelled or called out. And I feel like it's the first rung on a dangerous ladder, where it's fine if they're agreeing with you now, but there will come a day where an issue happens and you have demanded that people who don't have the knowledge have an opinion on something, and they're influencing in a realm that they shouldn't be.
Have you seen, so you have a big following online, relatively speaking, you do. Have people reached out to you, Stephanie, why are you not talking about this issue more?
My brand, let's say my Instagram account, is kind of social education. I talk about elections, I don't give my own opinions on things. So say, let's say like Israel and Palestine, I'll say this happened today, Israel attacked today, Hamas attacked on the 7th of October, this is what is happening. Not how I feel about anything, I don't give my opinion. This is how you vote, this is where you vote, this is the person running, this person has stepped down as leader. All facts. And so people don't really come at me because it's not as if I always give my opinion or I'm trying to influence something and then I stop on a particular issue. But there are influencers who, you know, for example, when poor Aisling Murphy, when that story happened last year and everybody was sharing that she was out for a run graphic, and things gather momentum and people feel they have to share it.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's a, and then if there's an influencer who has a scheduled ad for, I don't know, a food company that delivers to your door and they have a discount code, people jump on it and they're like, I can't believe you're the only person not sharing this. She was going for a run thing, and things go viral and there's a pressure to share. And obviously nobody had, there was no sides on that. Like, it was an absolute tragedy. But this social pressure to post a square for something, when it's black and white and something has happened that's terrible, it's fine. But sometimes there are nuances.
Yeah.
When different things happen. And I feel like the social pressure can be really intense for some people online.
I guess the influencers, this is just the latest manifestation of this, Stephen. We would have seen it. And as soon as Stephanie said that, I was reminded of everybody's Facebook pictures and everything going to, with the French tricolour in the background after the Bataclan attacks. Wasn't that the same thing?
Just kind of, Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah, that was it. Well, sorry, Charlie Hebdo. I've got to post this.
Yes, and there's no doubting that social influencers or people with large audiences online are being asked to share their opinions and give support to various causes. I think it's important sometimes to think about the context of individuals with large audiences.
Okay.
Because historically, there have been publishers. So you think about like newspapers. I think the example you give is really interesting of the pre-timed ad, right? So the one that goes out from an influencer at a time when maybe there's a huge story. And so everyone's saying, oh my God, I can't believe you're promoting this brand X at this time when this has happened. How insensitive of you are, how unthoughtful. And yet if you look at the last 15, 20 years, we know those moments when an ad has been booked in for a newspaper, for example, that runs at a time when the main headline is absolutely
incongruent.
Jarring. Mm. So this has happened in different mediums for centuries. What's different now is that these are individual influencers who have large audiences, and that's why they're being asked to do this. So they're being approached because they're the ones who can influence. Like the clue's in the name, they are influential people, but they don't necessarily always have the experience of an editor or someone to support them or someone to say, actually, you don't need to comment on this. I think one of the really interesting things in this is the contrast between virtue signaling and actual impact.
Yeah.
So one of the recent examples of this was All Eyes on Rafa.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a popular piece of content that went viral, particularly on Instagram, but on other networks as well.
Yeah.
And there was, like Stephanie said, a lot of pressure on people to share this in their Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that came up was, well, you're raising awareness about the conflict and you're raising awareness of a specific location and a specific time and a specific event. And there's value in that. But beyond that, what value does this have? And I think some of the most interesting examples of influencers online who are affecting change are the ones who go beyond talking or sharing an opinion. And there's one really interesting example of a TikTok account, someone called Yuval, who's famous for finding people who want to be found. It's a bit of a game. People will share a random 3-second clip of where they are without any context, and Yuval's job is to try and find out where they are. It's a really kind of entertaining, really popular account, 2.9 million followers. But recently, he, like lots of other influencers, was called on to talk publicly about the conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And what he chose to do was share the stories and the GoFundMe pages for families who are trying to get out of Gaza. So he would start his story by saying, okay, I'm going to try and find this person, but here's the thing I want you to do. And he would share the details of a specific GoFundMe page for a specific family.
Yeah.
And in multiple examples, within 24 to 48 hours, through micro donations from his 2.9 million followers, hundreds of thousands of dollars were raised for these individual GoFundMe campaigns to actually rescue families. And I think those examples are, they show where influencers can have an incredible real-world impact when it comes to actually talking about raising awareness or affecting change.
My question is, he came under pressure to do that. What if he didn't want to do that? Is it like, you have 2.9 million followers, we as your followers have decided that this is now the issue that is important to us and you better change lanes quickly? What if he just wants to keep finding people globally?
Is this a phenomenon that feels newer to us than it might to people in other jurisdictions? So stay in the States, celebrities, for as far back as I can remember, are asked about politics, about who they support, who will you vote for in the next election. I can't remember a guest ever being asked on The Late Late Show, who have they voted for in an election?
It's not a thing we do.
No, you never would, but they do it here. I just wonder if this conversation was being had in the States, would it feel kind of a bit passé or something? Well, yeah, of course we're going to ask influencers to talk about these issues. We ask everybody their opinions on everything. Here, there's a kind of an invisible wall when it comes to people who are, or there has been maybe.
But
we don't ask musicians or sports people or politicians, we do, but movie stars about their stance on things. And this is different.
It's not something that we demand to know, but I still don't think people would ask who you voted for. And I don't think people would feel under pressure to share it. It's more that, like, it's not so much your opinion. It's just that people have built a business, a following from making a certain type of content. So people built thousands of followers from finding people on Google Maps or promoting winged eyeliner. that is what it's
winged eyeliner.
It's like, you know, the flicks at the side of the eye.
Oh.
I'm being facetious, kind of. But, you know, like, people build a brand on a specific thing, and then something happens globally and people demand that they change that and pivot. And it's like, hang on a second. Just because you're a radio station and you make a three-hour radio show every day.
Yeah, my God.
And then people are like, oh, well, short-form content is better. Kieran, like, shorten your show. You know, it's...
I think, though, there's nuance to this. So I think in lots of examples, people aren't being asked to talk about only one other topic and to stop talking about what they're doing. They're being asked to contribute or take a stance on a thing. So it's not this expectation that your whole editorial policy as an individual influencer is going to change to talking exclusively about something. But... again, I think it's really useful to think about influencers like publishers because they have an audience. And we do know that newspapers, TV stations, radio stations do take sides. I think we have a frame of reference in Ireland that, you know, the media is relatively unpartisan, like, for the most part, right? You know, there's no real extremes in the media for the most part. And yet you go to other countries, particularly maybe the US, and you see these really radical sides of the media, really strong leaning on both sides. And when you have that type of media, there can be a greater pressure on influencers to then take a side, to have a side, to form an opinion. And ultimately, when you have an audience, when you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people following you, there's now just an expectation that you're going to be asked about your opinion on divisive topics. The key thing is remembering you don't always have to share it. You can choose whether or not you're going to share an opinion. And I do, I come back to the idea of the agent or agency. I think influencers need to surround themselves with people who can support them at those times and remind them that they don't have to come out strongly on one side or the other, and that they can decide not to engage or comment on topics, and that's okay.
The expectation, though, as well, from those requesting that you express your opinion is the implicit expectation is that your opinion will chime with their own, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As in, you know, like we'll stick with the obvious example because it's the one we keep relying on, which is the war in Gaza. And somebody kind of say,
Black Lives Matter,
why are you doing this?
George Floyd, like it happens in waves where it's like, hang on, we've all decided this is the, and I'm not saying that you're not, but
yeah,
that
I don't want to be accused of kind of both siding what's happening in Gaza. I'm not. But at the same time, the expectation is you'll weigh in and absolutely, you know, call out Israel for what they are doing. And you're not going to kind of labour the October 7th point.
I think, again, like what I come back to here is, you know, you think about, you know, this idea of your followers, people follow you not just because of the topics you talk about, but also because they feel maybe you're someone who they can relate to. Not necessarily that you're just like them, but maybe you share the same values. So we listen to certain radio stations because we feel they support the kind of things we support. We buy certain newspapers. We watch certain TV stations. We follow certain influencers because we're interested in the broad variety of topics or very specific things that they talk about, but also because we maybe trust the individuals. And trust comes quite often from hearing from people and consuming content where you do believe you have shared values. You do believe that this individual is a bit like you and does care about the same things and maybe feels the same way. Now, that's not to say that every influencer has to agree or come out in support of everything they're asked to support. But they do have to understand, too, that audiences feel that. Audiences do believe when they connect with these influencers and they consume their content that they are going to support the causes that they care about and they are going to speak out about the things that matter to them.
I don't understand, though, and sometimes I don't understand how normal people think, like how the majority of people think. I can't understand how it matters. Like, why do you need to know what influencer X, why do you need influencer X to call out this thing, Black Lives Matter, the war in Gaza, any of these things? Like, do you think that the American judicial system, that the policing system, that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be like, oh, Marion Tullamore is really angry, this is going to change everything? Like, what is it? Why do people feel so strongly like, I can't believe you're still sharing about something when this is happening and you need to call it out?
I think it's about raising awareness.
But who's not aware when every single person is sharing the same black square, or she went for a run, or all eyes on Rafa?
Then is the nature of social media and our kind of and human nature and gregariousness and herd mentality and everything, that that's just a price you're going to have to pay when it comes to anything that raises awareness. That there comes a tipping point during the day or during the week or during the course of a campaign where there is an element of tokenism and just going along with it happens. But that doesn't undermine the impact of the kind of initial momentum.
I feel like it does undermine the impact of the initial momentum. Like, it kind of stops. It's like, okay, we did that. Now I don't feel bad about turning on EastEnders, you know? Or maybe...
You should always feel bad about turning on EastEnders. So the Emmerdale, maybe.
I know we're kind of focused on a really specific point here, but if you do come back to this All Eyes on Rafa piece, I remember when I spoke about this at the time and I said, well, look, this is going to raise awareness. People are going to know about it. And the common retort was, how on earth could anybody not know what's going on in Rafa? Like, how does anybody not know that? I mean, open any newspaper, turn on any TV station, listen to any radio show. It's like the headline news. It's everywhere. You can't.
Not everyone listens to News Talk, unfortunately.
Well, I do Fools. Think so. Coming back to the idea of influencers and their role, without question, there are demographics who consume all of their media through social media. And for them, depending on the accounts they follow and how the algorithm is working, it's entirely possible that up until the point that that piece of content went viral, they won't have heard of Rafa.
On that note, thank you to Stephen O'Leary from Olitico and Stephanie Preisner, the writer, broadcaster and podcaster.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.